friends, brothers and sisters in faith, and acquaintances of Stephen John van Rongen. On behalf of the family, I extend to you a warm welcome as we give thanks to the Lord for the promises of life amidst a world embroiled in the curse of death. This morning, Steve's body was laid to rest in the bosom of the earth in the hope and expectation of the resurrection, sealed in the death and life of none other than Jesus Christ himself. Ik heet ook degenen die uit Nederland deze dienst volgen van harte welkom namens de familie. In our singing this morning, each child of Steve has chosen a psalm. And we begin with that psalm chosen by Hunter, Psalm 46, verse 1. Let's ask our Lord for a blessing. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that also in difficult times, in times of mourning, and in times where we can sometimes even be in despair, yet we can turn to you. For you have proven yourself to be a God of life. In the midst of the curse of death upon this world. And you sent your only begotten Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to this earth, that we might be reconciled to you in him. We ask, Lord, that you would forgive our sins and trespasses through his blood, that we might have that peace, that calm, whereby we know that we are reconciled to you and that you hear us as our Heavenly Father so that we can pray, Lord, and ask you for that comfort and that peace that only you can provide through your word, through your gospel. Grant that to Leonie, the children, and further family. And be with us now, Lord, as we give you thanks also for the life that you gave in your servant, Stephen John van Rongen. We ask you for your blessing humbly and in the name of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who together with you and the Holy Spirit receives all glory and honor forevermore. Amen. We're going to sing now from Psalm 42, the psalm chosen by Mackenzie, and we'll sing the verses 3 and 4. O my soul, why are you grieving? Why disquieted in me? Put your hope in God.
Thank you.
like to read to you now from Holy Scripture, and we'll read Psalm 20. In Psalm 20, we hear the response of God's microphone. Oh, there we go. It's back again. You can hear the response of God's servants. You can think of the choir of Levites as they sing in answer to a prayer that has been brought up to God, a prayer for deliverance, a prayer in distress. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob defend you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and strengthen you out of Zion. May he remember all your offerings and accept your burnt sacrifice. Selah. May he grant you according to your heart's desire and fulfill all your purpose. We will rejoice in your salvation, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. And then we hear the voice, perhaps of a priest. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. The Levitical choir finishes off the psalm. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They have bowed down and fallen, but we have risen and stand upright. Save, Lord. May the King answer us when we call. The family asked me to reflect this morning on the first few verses of this psalm, Psalm 20. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob defend you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and strengthen you out of Zion. May he remember all your offerings and accept your burnt sacrifice. In Psalm 20, we have a beautiful liturgical response to a prayer. It's not often appreciated. But if you read the psalm carefully, you see that, in fact, David, in this instance, has just prayed a prayer for deliverance in time of trouble. We see in verse 3 he has brought sacrifices. At least two animals will have been brought to be sacrificed on the altar as a gift to God, but also as a sacrifice to take away anything that stands between him and God. And those animals, they die on the altar in the place of David, that he might be reconciled to God, that his sins might be atoned for, and that therefore the path becomes clear for him to speak to God in prayer, and for him to speak to a God that is reconciled to him and thus ready to hear his plea in distress. And David has prayed his prayer, in this case, most probably for deliverance from enemy armies that have surrounded him. And now in Psalm 20, we get the liturgical response. God's servants, those whom he has appointed to speak on his behalf, they answer and they give comfort by singing to all those present this psalm. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob defend you. Literally, They say, may the name of the God of Jacob set you inaccessibly high up. In other words, so high that nobody can get to you, that you are perfectly safe, safe, upheld by the hands of God. Because these words come from God's servants, they come with the effect of a blessing. You all know the blessing that God's servants were to pronounce on the people. For example, in Numbers 6, we hear that often enough in worship. May the name of the Lord God is placed on the people. May God lift up his countenance upon you, grant you peace. Well, God's servants here in this psalm are saying something quite similar to that person who, reconciled to God by sacrifice, prays in his need and distress. And it doesn't matter where you are or what your situation is, even as God's servants say here, God will send you help from the sanctuary, strengthen you out of Zion. In other words, he sees wherever you are what your situation is. And that was a great blessing to those in Israel who lived far away from Jerusalem. They didn't always have the opportunity to go to the sanctuary to personally bring a prayer request to God. But God had said, doesn't matter where you are, you pray to me, I will hear you from my sanctuary. We take that for granted, of course, but it was pretty unique in those days. No other nation could do that. All the other pagan religions required you to be present in a temple if you wanted to speak to the God. Otherwise, he couldn't ever hear you. Well, how do we read this psalm in our own time? Obviously, when we pray, we don't bring sacrifices anymore. We don't offer up animals on an altar. There's a very good reason for that. It's not that we're better than people back then, that we're kind of automatically reconciled to God. We're not. But we are reconciled to God in a way that far exceeds any sacrifice of an animal. We're reconciled on the basis of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ himself, who offered up his life on the cross to bear our sin, so that when we accept him in faith and put our trust in him, he has said, my sacrifice is yours. And on that basis, we too can speak freely and boldly to the Creator of heaven and earth, knowing that he's reconciled with us. And because he is reconciled, he has become our Father. And he is ready to hear our petitions and pleas in time of distress. We have our high priest, Jesus Christ, in the Holy of Holies with God. And therefore, God remembers always that sacrifice made on our behalf. Now, that's a real comfort in times of trial and hardship, but also in times of mourning, when we're shaken by a turn of events that is indeed so unexpected. We can be full of questions, but we're asked to trust in God's hand. Trust does not demand answers. Trust leans on God's demonstrated love for us in Jesus Christ. Even as the Apostle Paul once said, if God was prepared to go so far as to offer up his own Son on our behalf, how can he not, as a Father, give us all that we require in this life, even as we have everything we need for the life hereafter in Christ Jesus? He's promised always to provide the strength and the comfort we need day by day. And that's what we need to rely on. Also, when we realize that he delivered in his inscrutable will Stephen out of this life of sorrow to be with himself, even now. Let us then also yearn for that day when all things will be restored. And day by day, as God gives us life, serve him in both thankfulness but also eager expectation of our certain future in him. God be praised. Amen. Let's sing in response from Psalm 23. This is a psalm that Quinn chose, verse 2. Though by its gloom and shadows overtaken and death's dark valley, I'm not forsaken. I fear no evil. You are there beside me. Give thanks. Holy and merciful God and Father, we give you thanks for the life and especially the comfort of faith that you gifted to Steve in your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. For Lord, even as he sometimes also grappled with faith and with service to you in this life, yet that conviction that Jesus Christ also died on his behalf was your gift to him. We thank you for the victory over death and the grave, which Christ has sealed with his blood. And Lord, we ask that you would even now then fill our hearts by your word and spirit with that comfort and conviction. Enable us too to yearn for the great day when in your almighty power you will raise the believers out of their graves with glorious bodies to be with you and your Son in eternal life on the restored heaven and earth. Grant us that saving faith, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's sing together the psalm that Kyla chose, Psalm 121, verse 1. I lift up my eyes unto the hills.
Thank you.
I'd like to invite Gerald von Rongen to come forward to give the eulogy and word of thanks.
Thank you. My name's Gerald von Rongen. Stephen was my only brother. Today I'd like to share with you some of Stephen's memories about his life. These are some of the memories that have been shared by his four children, Mackenzie, Quinn, Hunter, and Kyla. There are also memories of my three sisters, Jackie, Carly, and Christy, as well as myself. On behalf of the von Rongen family, we must also recognise the Egberts family, who are also suffering at this same time. Robin and Elizabeth Egberts, as well as your children, Rachel, Clinton, Natalie, and Olivia. When Stephen married Leonie, the Egberts treated him like one of their own. Not only was he a brother-in-law and a son to them, but he was also a workmate and employee. The Egberts gave him stability. For that, we're eternally grateful for them. When I visited Steve last, we were reminiscing about his work career. He was reminiscing about, very fondly, about what Rob had taught him. He taught him a strong work ethic. He taught him how to drive road trains up north and all the different idiosyncrasies about that. To the members of the Free Reform Church, thank you for allowing us this opportunity for us all to say goodbye, as well as for the support you've unselfishly offered my family members at various times in our lives, which date back a long time. To the Vanderlands and von Rongens who are also here today, as well as those who are elsewhere who couldn't make it. To Leonie, Stephen's wife and love of his life, you're the bravest woman I've ever met. When we all received the news that Stephen had passed away on Sunday, we would have all experienced a huge range of emotions, some of them being disbelief, shock, anger, remorse, sadness, despair, hopelessness, a sense of injustice, confusion, horror, and a sense of enormous loss. Stephen's family have been dealt a number of difficult cards over the recent years, and none of us were prepared for this one. When Leonie was diagnosed with cancer, this hit Stephen really hard. Leonie meant everything to him. She and her children were his world. It's no secret that Stephen struggled with Leonie's prognosis. He couldn't imagine life without her. It's been really difficult to witness in the last number of years the struggle for everyone who's been close to him, watching him struggle with the most important thing in his life. And one of the conclusions that I must say that we all must understand is struggling to cope with human situations isn't a weakness. It's actually a sign that people care. More than anything else in life, Steve didn't care about worldly possessions, money, his position in power, but he cared about his wife and children. So that's why he struggled. It's a sign of strength. Stephen was born in Armidale to John and Peggy von Rongen on the 22nd of July 1975. He was their fourth child after Jackie, myself, Carly, and then followed by Christy. He attended the John Calvin School in Armidale until my parents moved to Tasmania. He continued his schooling at the John Calvin School in Launceston and was a member of both the Launceston and Lagana Free Reformed Churches. That was where he met Leonie, where a thriving romance blossomed. They then both moved back to Tasmania at a very young age, where they were proudly married by my grandfather, the late Reverend von Rongen. They were also blessed with four children. So I'm just going to list now some of the thoughts of his four children. So I spoke to them in the last few days about some of the things that they really loved about their dad and some of the things that they're probably going to miss about him. And this is what came out of their hearts raw. So from Mackenzie, when I started learning to play the guitar, he would secretly listen, then suddenly appear and say, "You're doing it all wrong. This is how you do it." He'd take the guitar off me and never give it back. So I'd just give up and walk away and find something else to do. My love of cars came from my dad as well. One of the things that I'm really going to miss about my dad was when he used to reminisce about his childhood and tell us about all the crazy things he used to do. Sorry, Mackenzie, I was probably a bad influence on him. Quinn, some of the fun times that we had with my dad was where we went to the cricket together as a whole family. We also all went on family holidays to Albany and other places. One of the funny memories I had was when Dad forgot to glue his false teeth in. When he worked it out, he just ran around the house chasing us all without any teeth. I'm going to miss the play fights that I always had with my dad, even though he always won. Hunter. Dad was a fun person to play with. He was caring, loving. He regularly took us to White Hills for the night. We went driving on the beach and camping. I will miss playing with him, playing with the dog, and going to White Hills, driving on the beach. Kyla. My dad tickled me everywhere. I loved it when he played music really loud. I'm going to miss his nice soft beard. Sorry, Kyla, we didn't like it very much. And also, Kyla, being ticklish is a Van Rongen thing. Most of us are. These are the collective thoughts of Carly, Christy, and Jackie. Thanks for all the love and support from the community. It's been truly amazing. We will miss his cheeky grin. Stephen was a family-conscious man who loved his wife and kids immensely. He loved his brother and sisters with a passion. Family was everything to him. When Steve first learned to play the guitar, he only ever learnt one song, "Nights in White Satin," and he played it over and over again. He was a loud strummer and he sang loud as well. I think I remember that too. It was awful. I remember Steve used to test electric fences by throwing our poor dogs on the fence. If the dog yelped, the fence was electric. I had taught him another way, but that hurt him, so he chose hurting the dogs. Steve was not a fan of Orpah Van Ronger's lengthy prayers, and one day in the middle of it, he just shouted, "Amen," in the hope it would end. You can only imagine the thoughts that went through the great reverend's mind. When I was in primary school, I was spoken to by one of my teachers unfairly. When Steve found out at recess, he fronted up to the teacher and stuck up for his little sister, then proudly accepted the punishment that he had to wear for his insolence. When we were younger, Orpah purchased a Corolla for when he visited Tasmania, which was a fairly regular occurrence. It was annual at the time. The rest of the year, that Corolla lived at my parents' place. The Corolla was fair game to Stephen from a very young age, until he was spotted driving around Lagana by another church member. After he was caught, he had to resort to driving around a school bus with the Hoekstra boys instead. That didn't last very long either. These are some of my own personal memories. When I was young, Stephen was my mate. We fought, we played, we got ourselves into trouble together. I gave Stephen his first broken bone, running flat out in the dark hallways, stupid games we used to play. He returned the favour by giving my first bone on my bum, burn on my bum by sitting me down on a kerosene heater. I think he won that battle. We try and climb trees together every time we knew Orpah and Orma Van Rongen were coming, because we knew Orma would be out in the backyard shouting at us, freaking out. It was a great game. We also lived only a few doors up the road from the Posthumers, who were close family friends. We did a lot of things together. Warren was a little bit older than us, and he was also quite competitive. This never really bothered Steve and me. We used to regularly call him over to play with us, which he obliged every time, being totally unaware of our arsenal of honky nuts and sand bundies that were waiting for him. I've never understood why he fell for this same trick so many times, nor why he became such a good friend of Steve's later after the way we treated him. Sorry, Warren, we weren't very good to you. What I'll miss most is not being able to talk to my brother about anything in life, about what we are going through. I wish I could just tell him now that he did just fine. Not many people these days stay committed to one partner their whole life, nor are they blessed with four children. Not many people share his loyalty to both family and friends. As some time has now passed since the initial time we found out about his death, I'd like to just spend a moment to reflect on some of those initial emotions. That overwhelming feeling of hopelessness, the difficulty to comprehend a bright future for Stephen and Leonie's children. My sisters and brother also lost, and myself also lost our parents at a young age. So we also understand what effect this has on people. But as time passes, we all share the same comfort. When we were young, the Freeformed Church community was always there for us during any tough times. The financial support was nothing, was minuscule to the support they gave us emotionally. On behalf of Leonie and my sisters, we'd like to thank you from the bottom of our hearts for everything that you've done and continue to do for Stephen and Leonie's family. And the job's not finished, we understand that as well. This is one of the best insurance policies a parent can ever have for their children. My wife has never been a member of the Freeformed Church, but she highlighted this to me in my darkest hour. She reminded me, you know better than I do. Stephen and Leonie's children will never go without. They will get a good education. They will be looked after. They will have a massive family of relatives and free reformers that will look after them and look out for them for their whole childhood. I want to ask you all to take just a moment to reflect on what you do as a church community. It is truly amazing, the support that you give to people in times and crisis. And I'm not talking about money, I'm talking emotional support. Being there for people when they need you most. The Free Reform Support Network is not only efficient, it's business-like, and it's extremely caring, and it's something that you all should take a moment and be proud of. Although I'm not a member of this church, I will always be eternally grateful for that. To the Egberts family, we thank you for the love and acceptance of our brother, the support you gave him over the years when we all lived so far away. You were also his family that we knew he could rely on. If there's one lesson in life I've learned, it's to be open and honest to yourself and others about your feelings, including your darkest hours. Only then can those who care about you most actually give you the required support that you need. It's not an easy thing to do. I've learnt also to not judge people for the way they act, the way they might communicate to you, or the way they might deal with certain situations. Usually it's all the result of an underlying negative or positive experience that they may have had when they were younger. Leonie, you're greatly loved. Your brave anniversary, you're an inspiration to us all. You were there for Stephen from a young age until the day he died, and we thank you. Mackenzie, Quinn, Hunter, Kyla, you all have bright futures. You have a massive family of Egberts, Van Rongens and Free Reformers who will always be there for you. And that should be your comfort. Thank you for allowing me to have the time to say goodbye to my brother. Godspeed, Stephen Van Rongen. We have it from here. Amen.
Thank you, Gerald. Let's sing together a song, In Christ Alone. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.